like to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. We like to read the first three verses. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. By way of background, in chapter 1 and verse 1, it is stated that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had conquered Judah. The record of that is found in 2 Kings chapter 24. And according to 2 Kings 24 and verse 14, 10,000 of the most promising of the people were carried off into Babylonian captivity. Daniel, of course, was one of those carried away from his homeland, which was some 800 miles away, into this captivity. And through the book, Daniel, along with some other captives, they remained openly faithful, openly loyal, openly committed to God, serving him in very, very adverse circumstances. By the time we get to Daniel chapter 6, the Medo-Persian Empire has conquered the Babylonian Empire. And we see that Darius, there in verses 1 and 2, is organizing his government. And as he's doing so, he notices one of the captives, Daniel, and he notices that he's different. We see that in verses 2 and verse 3. Prior to this, others also had noticed a difference in Daniel. Notice in Daniel chapter 4, verse 8, "But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God." And then notice what it says. "And in whom is the spirit of the holy gods?" There's a recognized difference in Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. "There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods." Verse 12, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding," these were in Daniel. Verse 14, "I have heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee." From those verses, with what we read here in Daniel 6, verse 3, "an excellent spirit was in him," Daniel had a very God-evident life. We want to center the thought of the message around Daniel 6, verse 3 of our text, where we read concerning Daniel that an excellent spirit was in him. The word excellent, of course, means that which excels. that which goes beyond, that which predominates. Concerning Daniel, we read again, an excellent spirit was in him. That statement literally means in Daniel, the spiritual predominated. The spiritual was uppermost. The spiritual was enthroned in Daniel. In other words, the spiritual permeated Daniel's life. And this could be seen by all. An excellent spirit was in him, meaning that the spiritual was projected from Daniel in a very noticeable way. Daniel was guided. Daniel was moved and he was motivated and he was stimulated by the Spirit. He was moved and motivated and stimulated and guided by the spiritual rather than the material. An excellent spirit was in him. And we must consider those words in the light of the fact, by the time we get to Daniel chapter 6, the captivity, again, Babylon has been captured by the Medo-Persian Empire. And the captivity has now been going on for 60 plus years. And yet we still read, an excellent spirit was in him. Throughout the difficulties, throughout the trials and the heartaches of captivity, Daniel was still living a life that evidenced God. The whole account of Daniel is very intriguing because it illustrates to us the possibilities of godliness even in the midst of ungodliness. The book of Daniel illustrates very clearly that circumstances do not need to be perfect to faithfully serve the Lord. I want to speak this morning on a man of excellent spirit. We want to notice four qualities of Daniel which evidence the fact that an excellent spirit was in him. But before we consider these qualities of Daniel, it is important and also very encouraging to consider the circumstances under which Daniel showed forth and maintained these qualities. The captives, of course, lived under terribly sad circumstances when Jerusalem was besieged by the Babylonians. Those who were taken captive, they had plans, but their plans were interrupted. Many of them were young, such as Daniel, and gifted, seemingly with very bright futures, and no doubt filled with aspirations. But their aspirations were crushed that day. And their seemingly bright futures were destroyed. They were forced to leave their homeland, forced to leave their families. In some cases, they would have been forced to leave their businesses. They were forced to leave their possessions. They were forced to leave all that was familiar to them. And they were brought into an enemy country, some 800 miles away. Brought under the domain of a powerful and ruthless heathen king. No doubt there was tremendous sorrow, heartbreak, and anguish and a powerful feeling of estrangement amongst the captives. I almost said Catholics. These captives were inundated with heathen ways. Nebuchadnezzar's plan and his intent was concerning these Jewish captives to take the most gifted of the Hebrews, the young men, the handsome, those who showed some aptitude of some kind of learning, those who were quick to understand. And his intent was, we're going to brainwash them. We're going to re-educate them. We're going to transform them into agents of the Babylonian Empire. Very similar to what our universities do today. That's a different message. The idea was that they would re-educate these Hebrews and then eventually send them back into their homeland, where they would govern as the royal subjects of Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar knew that he could not make them act like Babylonians until he first made them think like Babylonians. You and I do not fully comprehend the battle for the mind that goes on today. But I assure you, there is a battle for the mind. Nebuchadnezzar knew, I cannot get them to act like Babylonians until I get them to think like Babylonians. They were taught the ways, the philosophies, and the religion of the Babylonian culture. This is seen in chapter 1 and verse 4. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar sought to teach them new ways of looking at life. Instead of looking at life through the perspective of God, I want to give you a different view of life, was Nebuchadnezzar's intent. They were taught the language of the most educated of the people, the Chaldeans. We also see that in chapter 1 and verse 4. But through it all, we read concerning Daniel that he had an excellent spirit in him. They were introduced to the luxuries of Babylon. Chapter 1 and verse 5. He did this to entice their appetite. He did this to develop their appetite for these things. And if he could entice and develop their appetite for Babylonian luxuries, he could change their lifestyle. This was his goal. But through it all, we read concerning Daniel that an excellent spirit was in him. There was an attempt to make them forget their country, to make them forget their homeland, to make them forget their God, and to identify with Babylon. This also is seen in chapter 1 by the fact that their names were changed. But again, through it all, Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. So these captives, Daniel included, were surrounded by heathen worship. They were surrounded by heathen images. They were surrounded by heathen talk. They were surrounded by heathen ways. They were surrounded by heathen people. And an all-out effort was being made to bring them into conformity to a godless, God-despising, idolatrous, blasphemous, immoral, self-indulgent, self-sufficient, society or culture. There was an all-out attempt to press them into the mold and mindset of Babylonian culture. It was an all-out attempt to get them to fit in. You see, if your thinking has changed, soon you'll want to fit in. And there was an all-out attempt to get them to fit in and to accept and to embrace the ways of Babylon. Today there is an all-out attempt to get you and I to accept things that are against God and to embrace those things. But through it all, Daniel, along with some of the others, were continually guided and moved and motivated by the spiritual rather than the material. And they were able to live a life that manifested God. And we said we wanted to look at four qualities of Daniel. This was the result of this excellent spirit that was in him. Again, keep in mind the circumstances under which Daniel manifested these qualities. First of all, in Daniel 1 and verse 8, we read, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Without a doubt, many of the Israelites carried into captivity lost their faith in God and indeed were conformed to Babylonian ways. But Daniel purposed in his heart. For 3 years, Daniel chapter 1, these captives were indoctrinated in pagan Babylonian thinking. But in spite of the evil intentions and the intense effort of the enemy, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That is, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be moved from his God. Until some people get some convictions, they will be moved. Young people must have convictions. And if mom and dad can make all the rules they want to, but without God convictions, you will find a way to break the rules, and you will break the rules. Daniel purposed in his heart, I will not be moved from God. This is part of that excellent spirit that was within him. It was his intention. It was his goal. It was his ambition. It was his aspiration. It was his determination. It was his resolve. It was his commitment. I will not be moved from God. I will please God, even under these adverse circumstances. Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart that he would not be blinded by Babylonian ways, that he would not be hypnotized by an ungodly culture. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That is, it was his resolve that he would not be defined by a culture of wickedness, by a culture of rebellion and idolatry. He is saying, I will not let this culture define my life. He purposed in his heart that he would not be swallowed up and consumed by an unbelieving culture. He was determined not to allow his affections, not to allow his devotion, not to allow his loyalty to God to be turned aside. Daniel purposed in his heart. He didn't do that just one time, by the way. I believe he did that every day. He did that several times a day. He purposed in his heart, I will not be defiled. I will not be polluted. I will not be drawn aside by this ungodly culture. He was determined that he would not sell out. That he would not bow to peer pressure. And that he would not go along with the culture, with a godless culture. Keep in mind, Daniel's own country and homeland had been basically laid waste. And now he's in a land that is antagonistic to his faith. He's living in an evil place. His entire life has been uprooted and changed. And in the midst of these extreme difficulties and troubles, in the midst of all the sorrows and all the heartaches, and I'm sure there were even times of anguish, through it all, Daniel maintained a God purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, in order to have such a purpose, Daniel had to believe some things concerning God. Daniel would have had to had some deep rooted convictions concerning God. See, you can go from here today and purpose in your heart that you're not going to be defiled, but unless you have deep-rooted convictions, you will be. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. What that means is that Daniel defined what was most important to his life. He did not allow culture to define what is important. And I'm afraid today that many of God's people have allowed a godless culture to define what is important and what is necessary. You need to determine that. And you need to determine that based upon the Word of God. What is important and what is necessary. Daniel purposed in his heart. Purpose is based upon a deep-seated principle. It's based upon conviction. It is based upon the realization that something is worthwhile, that something is worth living for, and that something is worth dying for. Daniel purposed in his heart. He determined what was most important to him. And he was not ashamed to announce it. And he was not ashamed to stand by it. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. In order to do this, Daniel would have had to recognize that he had a duty to God. And his duty to God was greater than his duty to the Babylonian government or anybody else. He first had a duty to God. Daniel purposed in his heart. That means that Daniel had to have very strong feelings for God, for the ways of God. Purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he would not degrade himself, that he would not allow himself to be contaminated, that he would not dishonor himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. In order to do this, Daniel would have had to realize the dangers and the defiling nature of a godless culture. Daniel possessed a deep-seated conviction that Babylonian culture was in opposition to God. And that as such, it had power to strip him spiritually. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled. Within the heart of Daniel, there was a stirring from the Lord. There he is in very difficult circumstances, surrounded by the heathen. But every single day, within the heart of Daniel, there was a stirring of the Lord. Within the heart of Daniel, there was a fervent love for the Lord and for the ways of the Lord. Within the heart of Daniel, there was an agreement with God. He found himself in agreement with what God said. You're in big trouble when you begin to agree with a godless culture on any point. Within the heart of Daniel, there was an interest in the Lord. There was a reverence for the Lord. Within the heart of Daniel, there was a passion, and there was an excitement for the Lord. The Lord meant everything to Daniel. And he purposed in his heart that it would remain so. And all through the captivity, 70 years, Daniel had this excellent spirit within him. We can be sure of this. Just as Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar after him, and Darius after him, had a program and an agenda to entice and to develop an appetite for Babylonian culture amongst the Hebrew captives. So there is an all-out effort by the enemies of God today to develop such an appetite amongst God's people today. We live in a culture just as wicked as Babylonian culture. And just as Nebuchadnezzar sought to fill the minds of the captives with Babylonian philosophy and Babylonian religion in an attempt to reprogram their thinking, to get them to align with Babylonian thinking. So there is today an all-out effort to reprogram biblical thinking into the thinking of the world. In fact, many of God's people have become intimidated, and they're afraid to express biblical ways because they'll be made fun of. They might lose a job. They might not be accepted. We need to purpose in our hearts that we're not going to be led astray by Babylonian culture. And just as Nebuchadnezzar sought to teach the Hebrew captives a new language, so the world today pushes its language upon God's people. And many of God's people have forgotten the language of God. And they use the same speech that the world uses. It's a sad day. Nebuchadnezzar sought to get these captives to identify with Babylonian culture. And so today there is an all-out effort to get God's people to identify with a humanistic, immoral and immodest, and permissive culture. Just as Nebuchadnezzar sought to get these captives to accept and even embrace Babylonian culture, so it is today. There is an all-out effort to get people to accept and to embrace a godless culture. But in all the varying circumstances and situations, and in all the difficulties and trials of life, and in the midst of opposing forces and hindrances on every hand, we need to realize the importance of determining our hearts that we're not going to do that which makes us unclean and pollutes our lives and our homes and our churches. You can't make that determination for someone else. You can only do it for yourself. We need to determine in our hearts, because of what we believe about God, because of the convictions that we have, we must determine in our hearts that God is first and He is never second. Never. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the threats are. We need to determine right now, God is first. First. Daniel purposed in his heart. We need to determine right now, not later, right now. We need to determine that God will have the preeminence. He will have the preeminence over family. He will have the preeminence over friends. He will have the preeminence over self. He will have the preeminence over jobs. He'll have the preeminence over pleasures. He will have the preeminence. That needs to be our purpose and our determination. We need to determine in our hearts that we are not, that we are going to live our lives regardless of circumstances. We are going to live our lives to the honor and glory of the one who saved us and gave everything for us. We need a purpose in our hearts. We need to commit ourselves absolutely and positively everywhere and always to a clearly defined purpose for God. This is what Daniel did. Why did he do that? Because he had an excellent spirit in him. Because of what was in him, he purposed in his heart, I will not be defiled. I will not be defiled by the media. I will not be defiled by the philosophies of the world. I will not allow the world to tell me how to live my life. I will not allow the world to tell me what is necessary in my life or my children's life. I will have God tell me those things. Daniel purposed in his heart. Today, amid the allurements and enticements of a godless age, God and His glory needs to be our aim, needs to be our goal, needs to be our ambition. It needs to be our resolve and our commitment. Is there a spirit within you that causes you to have such a purpose? We need to get to the root of the problem, which is what is in us. Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. And he manifested this by purposing in his heart. Secondly, Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel chapter 6, he's been in Babylonian captivity for 60 plus years. And through it all, he has maintained his purpose for God. And through it all, he was a man of prayer. We read in this 6th chapter, in verse 10, that in spite of a decree being passed, that was no longer permissible to pray. Daniel, knowing that it was against the law, went into his house, verse 10, and the windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks, not because it was now against the law and he was trying to make a statement, but this is what he did aforetime. Daniel was not going to be defiled by a law. We need such conviction that it may very soon result in our arrest and being hauled off to jail. You say, "Oh, I'm right there with you. I have that conviction." Many people who say that don't even have enough conviction to live now. Things are always before God. Let alone when they come and say, "We're going to take your children unless you agree with our program." That's going to take some conviction. God doesn't, if the Lord doesn't come, these times are coming. And I've got news for you. When it comes, you're not going to be able to just decide then, "Okay, this is where I'm going to stand." No, it doesn't work that way. Daniel did not allow the laws of the heathen to diminish his spiritual responsibility to pray. In Daniel chapter 9, after 70 years of captivity, Daniel, having studied the scriptures, realized that the captivity would soon be over. Daniel testified, he said there in Daniel 9, verse 3 and 4, "I set my face unto the Lord, to the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God." Daniel chapter 9, 70 years, and he's still praying. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit within him. Daniel continued seeking God in prayer. When will we get serious? It says that he sought God by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. He was serious. This was not some rushed prayer. Here was a man who felt a burden. Here was a man who had a hunger and a thirst for God, and he prayed. And here we are, living in some dark, dark, dark days. And many of God's people cannot even find time to pray. This is a result of a spirit that is in him. Daniel, in very troublesome times, in a very lengthy time of difficulty. Again, anybody can deal with a difficulty that is short-lived. Well, not anybody. But most people can handle it to some degree. 70 years! And he's still got this excellent spirit in him. 70 years and he's still praying. He doesn't know what's happened to his family. Many of them perhaps have passed on. But Daniel just kept on serving God. He did not allow circumstances dictate his life. He was relentless in praying. He was a man who was moved to pray. What does it take to move you to pray? All you have to do is turn the television on for 2 minutes, and if that ought to move you. Pick up a newspaper, that ought to move you. Open your eyes and look around, and you ought to be moved to pray. Why did Daniel pray? Because Daniel knew that God was his only resource. And he prayed. And he knew that God was the answer. And now 70 years in the captivity, and he's still praying. Thirdly, and these next two qualities are the direct result of the first two. He purposed in his heart. He was a man of prayer. And thirdly, he was a man of perception. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was revealed by God to Daniel. And again in chapter 4. In chapter 5, Belshazzar's dream was revealed by God to Daniel. The one who has the purpose that Daniel had, and the one who has the prayer life that Daniel had, will have clarity of vision, which will enable you to walk in the ways of God, and will enable you to do the work of God. Many, no doubt, of the captives compromised and were swallowed up by Babylonian captivity. But Daniel, along with some others, maintained spiritual perception. Do not allow the ungodly to cloud your perception. Daniel maintained spiritual perception. He had maintained through 70 years of captivity the ability to discern between truth and error, between holiness and ungodliness. He had the ability to see God's person. He had the ability to see God's work. He had the ability to see God's will. Even in adverse circumstances, he never lost his perception. And I believe that's a result of purposing in your heart and praying. You see, because he had a purpose in his heart, he prayed. And when he prayed, the purpose of his heart was strengthened. It just keeps on going. Daniel knew what was going on. He's now lived in captivity 60 plus years in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was very much aware of what was going on. When they gathered them all together and began to indoctrinate them, Daniel knew what was going on. Many of God's people walk around today, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. That's why they allow the filth in their house and the television sets. That's why they go down to the movie rental places and they rent the garbage. They don't have a clue. Not a clue. Not a clue what they're bringing into their own homes. You would not allow your neighbor to come over, I hope, and curse and spread his vile propaganda. But somehow it's okay to sit down on the couch with the kids and turn it on TV. Don't have a clue. Don't have a clue what's going on. Daniel had spiritual perception. We desperately need to be a people of spiritual perception. Fourthly, Daniel was a man of power. The person who has an all-consuming God purpose will give themselves to prayer. And the more you pray, the more you get on your knees and you call out to God and you seek God and you do that every single day, the clearer your perception will be. Why is it that people walk around without a clue? Because they don't talk to God. And they don't listen to God. The individual who has this all-consuming purpose and gives themselves to prayer will be a person of spiritual perception. And this person will also be a person of spiritual power. Even the ungodly, even the wicked recognized that there was something about Daniel. There was something about him. And all through the days of captivity, Daniel possessed and manifested spiritual strength. Spiritual strength. That doesn't come without it being within our hearts. Daniel had an excellent spirit within him. He manifested spiritual might throughout adverse circumstances. He manifested spiritual energy. He was a man who had great spiritual influence. Even the ungodly, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, would call for Daniel to interpret dreams. He had spiritual influence. When the ungodly asks you, well, what do you think? You tell them. You tell them what God says. It may be the only time they ask. So make sure you tell them good. But tell them. Don't be afraid. I don't care where it's at. I don't care if it's in the school. I don't care if it's on the job. I don't care if it's the neighbors. I don't care if it's the family. It doesn't matter. But God's people have taken this attitude. Well, it just wasn't the time. May I ask you, when will it be the time? Just curious. When will it be the time? Do all the planets have to line up a certain way? When will it be time? When they ask, it's time. It's time to give an answer. If they ask about homosexuality, if they ask questions about marriage, if they ask questions about sex, it's time to answer from God's Word. Daniel was a man of power. He had influence. And when you answer, they may get angry. They may not agree. They may mock. They may ridicule. But I'll tell you this, they'll never forget the answer you gave. They'll never forget it. Never. Well, it was at a family birthday party, and I just didn't feel that was the time. You need to wake up and realize that you're not here on this earth for family birthday parties. You're here to serve God. And if that means disrupting a birthday party, so be it. If that means upsetting the family, so be it. We had better speak. And it comes from a spirit. The Spirit of God within. One of the happiest days of my life was when the family stopped inviting me to their parties. Because they would have them every single time on a Sunday. I'm not going. Well, it's after church. I'm not going to pollute my mind with your heathen ways and try to worship God on Sunday evening. Eventually, they just stopped asking. Well, didn't that hurt your feelings? Not a bit. Not one single bit. And who do they call? When their mom or dad or their child has cancer or sickness, who do they call? I'm not bragging. This is fact. This is how it works. Would you pray for me? Well, I have been for 15 years. Yeah, I'll pray. Might not pray exactly what they want, but yeah, I'll pray. Daniel was a man of purpose, man of prayer, man of perception, man of power. We need to be a people of spiritual strength. The world needs to look at us and see a rock of strength. They need to take the attitude, don't bother talking to him. You're not going to change his mind. Praise the Lord. He's as stubborn as they come. Praise the Lord. The spirit that excelled was in Daniel. Here we are in the final days. And we need this spirit within us. It's not a spirit we can work up. It's not a spirit we can create. It is the work of God. Oh, that we would be a people of purpose. We live in the midst of Babylon. And they are trying to reprogram us. You say, well, you're paranoid. Maybe. But it's truth. They're trying to reprogram. And they're very sly. They used to be. Now they're very bold. They don't have to be sly anymore. Because they've already reprogrammed most of the thinking. God's people are doing things that they thought they would never do 10 years ago. And they're doing them today. And they'll defend them. Many people's view has changed on a lot of things. They may not be honest enough to admit it, but it's evidenced by their silence. They're fearful, and their view has changed. Well, if I said the truth, it might cost me my job. I might get kicked out of school. Oh, for some God's people to get enough backbone to get kicked out of school. Now, calm down, parents. I know what's coming. And you know what I mean, so don't go there. For God's people to get some backbone to get fired from a job. To have family forsake us. Where's the backbone? Serve the Lord. Oh, to be a people of purpose, people of prayer, a people that knows what's going on because we read it in the book. A people of power. A people of influence. God help us. God help us today. We have sat back. We have watched politicians. We have watched God's people sit with their mouths shut while everything that is dear to us is being taken away. And there they sit because they don't have that spirit. When someone speaks blasphemy and heresy, immediately your heart ought to be stirred. I got to tell them the truth. Is there that stirring? I'm not talking about just a stirring of anger, but a stirring that causes us to stand up and speak. When someone uses the Lord's name in vain around us, you ought to say something. Well, that's just the way they are. Well, this is the way you ought to be. You ought to say something. Someone uses the name Jesus Christ in a vain way, ask them, do you know him? You like using his name an awful lot. Do you know him? Let me tell you about him. We need to speak up. We need a purpose. God leads us in all different kinds of places. God puts us in a variety of circumstances. Why does he do that? Does he do that just to see what we'll do? No. One of the reasons is so that we can be a witness. So that we can testify to others. God brings people into our lives. Why does God do that? So we can remain silent? No, so we might speak. It bothers me. It disturbs me. When you ask someone, does your neighbor know the Lord? Well, I don't know. You ought to be ashamed to say that. Because you ought to know. Because you ought to have asked them. Especially when it's been 30, 40 years and you still don't know. What have you been talking about? All this time. Oh, I sure hope my aunt knows the Lord. I'm not sure if she does or not, or my uncle, or my grandfather, grandmother. You ought to ask them. And you ought not put yourself in a position where you can't be a witness. You ought not put yourself in a position where they won't listen. Don't go with them on the Lord's day to all the entertainments of the world and try to witness to them. Because if they have any sense, they will turn and say, you hypocrite. You're telling me about God. I believe it's Sunday, according to my calendar. Looks to me like you ought to be in the Lord's house. And that's what I'd say if I was lost. If I wouldn't say it, I would think it. We could go on and on. We need God in our hearts. Where we will stand. How far are we going to allow the enemy into our lives? Seems to me the line just keeps moving back and back and back until pretty soon they've taken everything. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.